Well, I'd like to share with you for a couple moments this morning part two of our series, which this week is called Balance, Rhythm, Beauty. Last week it was called Rhythm, Balance, Beauty. But we hit on balance last week. Actually, Scott did specifically and did an awesome job talking about walking in grace, but having balance in our lives. If you missed that message, I would encourage you to go listen to it. You can go to newhopepotsdam.org. Great message, and that was the first start. So we're on part two of this week, and we're looking at rhythms. And I want to look specifically at grace-filled rhythms. And I want to contrast first grace and legalism before talking about rhythms. I remember when I was working at a factory when I was in high school, and I had a friend who was working there. His name was Hassan, and he was a Muslim, and I'm a Christian, and we would be working together for like 12 to 14 hours a day, side by side. So we had a lot of time to talk. And I would talk about following Jesus. He would talk about following Allah. And as we were talking, he would talk about just the uncertainty of knowing if he could do enough things right. If he was to die, would he be in paradise with Allah? And I believe that Jesus is the only way, that's what we preach here, to the true God. And I realized just what he was going through was just hoping that if he did enough things right and had enough prayer points and had the right amount of forgiveness, that he hoped that he would be there by earning his way into heaven. That's not what Christianity is about. Christianity is about a God in heaven seeing our brokenness and sending Jesus to come die for you and me. And that's grace. Sometimes, though, in our Christian religion, though, or relationship, I should say, we can get into this legalistic thought pattern. I'm not saying including Muslim ideas, but the idea of, like, we need to do enough things right in order to, please God. Maybe it's, I want to spend time with God today, but because I made some mistakes this week, I won't. Maybe if I got enough things right, then I could spend time with God. Or maybe there's things I've done wrong, and because of that, I really can never call myself a Christian or start that relationship with Jesus because I haven't done enough things right to outweigh my wrong. We get kind of on this scale thing. I don't know if you ever thought that way before. I know sometimes I've skipped like times with God, like quiet times, because I'm like, I kind of messed up this, so I guess I'll hope I'll get better someday, right? But God's grace enables us to come broken, filthy, marred, and be able to be made whole and beautiful. And I want to talk about grace-filled rhythms. So let's talk a little bit more about grace from Romans chapter 6. Paul writes about this when he talks about grace in Romans 6, verses 12 to 14. He says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to a sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace." Let's take a moment to pray. God, I thank you, Lord, for your word. God, I thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, I pray that this would be an equipping and filling, God, not just intellectually, but really a filling to our soul, that you pour out your grace and that we could receive it this morning. Guide us and show us, Lord, how to just be walking with you each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's talk about grace. So Paul was contrasting here the idea of being under the weight of sin. The Bible makes it clear that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and there's nothing we can do. That whole idea of religion, that I'm just going to do enough things to appease a higher power, does not work. There's not enough good things we can do. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. Hence why the gift of Jesus coming to die for us, and that grace is so amazing. But sometimes we can struggle with back and forth between grace and I would like to call legalism. Paul makes the point here that we have a new master. In the last part, it talks about dominion. Other translations will say, "For sin will have no dominion or not be a master over you, since you're not under the law, but under grace." There's two words I kind of think of when I think of grace. I think of grace and mercy. Grace is, I've heard it once said, is God's riches at Christ's expense, or unmerited favor. It's literally like, you ever get like a really awesome gift and you did nothing for it? That's like an example of grace. My wife Crystal and I, my family, we just recently got a tremendous gift that we didn't ask for nor even know we were going to get. We got to go on a whole vacation to Florida, completely prayed for. That's grace. Didn't pay a dime, right? Didn't pay a dime. That's grace. That's a human version, I think, of grace. And then when we think of mercy, that's being pardoned for something we've done wrong. So say you stole something, and someone comes in, it's like, I'm gonna pay the fine. Instead of you going to jail, I'm gonna go jail for you. I'm gonna pardon what you've done wrong. So grace is unmerited favor, where mercy is pardoning something we've done wrong. The cool thing about Jesus is he has grace and mercy for us each and every day. There is mercy new every single morning. As scripture says, as great is thy faithfulness, there's mercy every morning. Each one of us, myself included, need that mercy, and we need that grace. Grace is really neat because it really does empower us to walk in who God's called us to be. And when I'm talking about grace-filled rhythms, I want to look at times and points in our moment-by-moment day, daily life, and weekly life where we can pull away to be filled again and encounter that grace. But let's just talk about rhythms real quick. Rhythms, most of you probably know this, but definition, a strong, regular, repeated pattern of movement or sound. I know some of you have really good rhythm. I often can tell who has good rhythm by sometimes during some songs we'll start clapping. I don't know if you're like me, but you'll notice there's some people that are clapping their own beat, and there's other people who are clapping that are clapping towards maybe what the actual music is. And I'm about right in between. I'm not an expert. I don't know where you're at. Maybe you're like, you ace this. But what I often do for clapping in a song, I listen right in to how Laurel is clapping, and then Andrea Ellison, and then I listen, no, I'm not kidding, and then the bass drum on the drummer. I'm like, that's literally, if I can get on some rhythm here and get some pattern, I will clap. And if they stop, I stop. I'm just being real. You're wondering like, wow, Jim, how do you clap so well, and why do you stop when people raise their hands? Because I got nothing to follow. We need a rhythm, right? And we want grace pattern. There's rhythm. And as we think of our days and our weeks, there's rhythms to it. And we want this to be grace-filled. And I was thinking about rhythms. I think God's the ultimate rhythm master, if you think about it. We want to align our lives to the rhythm of the Lord. So let's look a little bit more about grace-filled rhythms. I'm going to mention three, but we're going to look primarily at two. Before I get there, I wanted to say this. Grace-filled rhythms help us achieve balance. That's what Scott was talking about last week. In our lives and provide opportunities to delight in the beauty of God, which is next week. So grace-filled rhythms help us achieve balance in our lives and provide opportunities to delight in the beauty of God. If you're here this morning, maybe you feel like your life's just kind of going around. You're like, man, it's kind of crazy. You don't got a lot of balance. I'm going from one extreme to the other, too much, too little. Maybe you feel overwhelmed. Rhythms is a real game changer, and I've recently been applying a lot of these and just tremendously changing my life. But let's look at a couple of these. So there's moment-by-moment rhythms, like walking in the grace of God. Paul writes this in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. He says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So if you're ever wondering, what's the will of God for me? Here's a great place to go. I remember asking John Ott once, I'm like, what's the will of God? He took me right to this verse. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. Boom, right there. That's a real, I think, like moment by moment. The whole idea specifically of praying without ceasing, having that conversation, that's not like an occasional. That's like all the time. I want to be connected to my Heavenly Father, abiding with Jesus, talking, but also listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. A moment by moment rhythm. And I encourage you, that's a great place to go and to strive for. But I wanted to focus on daily rhythms and weekly rhythms. Daily rhythms are strategically pausing in our day to fill up our souls with God's grace. So if moment by moment, I was thinking about this while it was raining, I think on Wednesday, and then on Thursday, it might have been snowing, so I forget which day was which, but one of the days it was raining, I'm pretty sure. And as I was listening to the rain, I thought about moment by moment, kind of being like, ever walk in the rain, like a spring rain, where it's maybe getting a little warm, and just constantly just like, not like a torrential rain, but just a sprinkling. I think of that moment by moment grace. So when I think of daily rhythms, it's like bringing a cup, pausing, attention, just filling up a cup of our soul. That's what I think about daily rhythms. And weekly rhythms is literally just bathing in God's grace. You're in the bath of God's grace. So let's look at a couple things when it comes specifically to daily rhythms. I want to look at two examples with you. First one I want to look at is in the Old Testament with Daniel. And some of you might remember this, but there's some people who didn't like Daniel, and they wanted to find something where he erred or something where he wasn't following the king. And they realized, wow, he is very, very devoted to God. And this is what it says in Daniel 6:10. It says, "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published," this is that you couldn't worship any other god, "he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he'd done before." So I love Daniel. You hear that you're not supposed to be doing this. He valued the priority of God over any other thing of humans and decided that, hey, this is my pattern before, this is my rhythm before, I'm going to continue this. So he had like a very, sounds like structured rhythm. But then you look in the New Testament and you look at Jesus, he had a fun variety, and you can look at these scriptures later. They're on the back of your bulletin. Matthew 14:23, Jesus was seen going to the mountainside. He liked to pray on the mountainside a lot to pray, and this was in the evening. Mark 1:35 and Luke 4:42, he went to a solitary place to pray, and that was early morning. In Luke 6:12 and Mark 6:45-46, he went to the mountainside to pray, and this was all night. And then in Luke 5:16, it says that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray. So in the Old Testament, you get like a really, like at least as far as Daniel, you get like a real pattern, three times a day. I don't know if that was like a breakfast, lunch, dinner thing. But when you look at Jesus, he would often withdraw to lonely places to pray. And I often think, when I think about this, is if the God, man, Jesus himself, needed to pull away on a frequent basis to spend time with the Heavenly Father, how much you and I do we need to do that daily? Right? I mean, I just think about that. Like, if Jesus is pulling away, and it looks like evening, morning, all night, often. I know some people will prioritize maybe morning times or evening times. One way I like to think about it, when are you at your best in the day? Is the morning when you're the highest energy, the most like able to focus in? I know for some that's like a midday thing. Maybe it's in the evening. But Jesus gave his best for you and I. So it's nice to think about our day. When can I give God the best? Not the leftovers, not when I'm about to pass out, you know, in bed, but Lord, when can I give you the best? To really tune in, to have that moment just to fill up my cup, so to speak. But I like to mention this because you don't want to fall into a legalistic practice of if you're looking to spend time with God, hopefully maybe it starts in the morning or in the evening or maybe throughout the day. You don't want to make it like just a checklist. You ever get in that pattern before? You're just checking off. I know I have. Spend time with God, check. Now the rest of the day is mine, right? Read a scripture, prayed about things that concern me, tried to listen in the best I could, check. Off I go. Spiritual disciplines that lack grace often fall into legalism. So spiritual disciplines that lack grace often fall into legalistic practices. Once was a life-giving thing can turn into a very dry, kind of like, oh, and then maybe you can feel better. Well, I spent more time with God, and it's easy to get prideful or thinking you achieve a better status. We got to remember that we all need Jesus, and if we're going in the pattern of God, I want to receive from you at these points, it's really a filling that's happening. If you're here this morning and you're thinking, wow, my days are usually just, I'm just exhausted or just, you know, I don't got a lot to offer, implementing, I would just suggest, because we want to be grace-filled, not like legalistic, but suggest possibly maybe trying to find maybe 3 points in your day. It doesn't have to be breakfast, lunch, dinner. Could be shifted around or whatever, but maybe try to find places to refill and recharge with the Lord. When I used to work at a factory, I often would mirror it around mealtimes, before breakfast, during lunch, then after dinner. Right now, it's before breakfast, somewhere around lunch, depending if there's meetings, and then later in the evening, reading scripture with my wife, Crystal, as we're getting ready for bed. And I just want to mention, yours will probably look different, what those rhythms look like, but I would encourage you to think about what that could look like. Spending time with God is so important. And if we restructure our whole day, not around fitting God into our day, but literally fitting our day around God, then these refilling moments can be seen as a joy. Kind of like if you have a car that only can last 4 hours with gasoline for some reason, so you got to fill it up in the morning, midday, and evening. I hope it wouldn't be like, oh man, I got to fill up my tank besides, you know, the price of it, right? Filling up the tank would not be happy 3 times a day. But the idea of, wow, the car will run so much more effectively and efficiently if it's filled up with fuel. Our souls need that as well. We need time with the Lord to be filled up. A couple of practical things when I think of daily rhythms I wanted to share with you. This is a very, I think, practical, hands-on message, but I hope this will encourage you to apply some of these things. So what do you do during these times? If you were to say take 3 times, what are some practical things you can do? I think it's great. And like I said, there's a lot of freedom. It's not a legalistic thing, but having scripture with you, maybe a devotional, having times of prayer, talking, and listening to God. I personally like having something to write down on. I know some people use, like, paper. I use things like that. Others use mobile tablets, laptops, digital YouVersion Bible apps, whatever. There's a lot of grace here. Spending some time in listening, possibly just stillness. That's something I've been personally practicing, is just Take maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 2 minutes, 15 minutes, just listening before the Lord at different points during the day. Possibly just reflecting, Lord, what have you been showing me? Sometimes our mornings can start so fast that we already forgot by lunchtime what scripture we read. At least that's how I feel sometimes. What did I even read? You know, what am I trying to apply today? Reflecting on that and listening to the Lord. Stillness is a powerful, powerful thing, just to be still. It's actually very, very difficult, I find. In Psalm 46:10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." An opportunity to be still and know who God is. If we get so lost in busyness, we can lose who God is, and we also can lose the perspective of who we are. Also, some of the things that the Lord might speak to you, I got this from the Power of the Whisper course, which I'll be teaching this upcoming Tuesday if you're interested in learning more about listening to the Lord. But some of the things I learned there is there's three categories going through this course that the author talked about. One of them is sometimes as we're spending time in stillness, we'll hear the Holy Spirit whispering just words of encouragement or insurance. Imagine going through your day and stressed out. I think we could think of that scenario. And God just whispering an encouraging word at the right moment. And if we hadn't paused to listen, we would have missed. Maybe there's a correction that needs to happen. Maybe there's something we've done wrong. This past week, I was talking with a friend, and she was giving me an awesome idea for something we could do here at church. And I was listening to it. And I don't know if you ever shared an idea, and like 2 seconds in, someone hijacks your idea and makes it their idea and doesn't listen to you. Well, that's what I did. So my friend's sharing. She shares for 10 seconds. I share for 10 minutes about her idea. Yes, not funny for her. And I thought, like, well, that was helpful. I just helped her out a lot. She looked really confused. So then I had a stillness point right around lunchtime. So I went to pray. And in that moment, I felt the Holy Spirit saying, "You need to go back and apologize to this sister. You didn't listen to her. And you need to ask for forgiveness." And I was like, whoa, I would not even have thought about that because I didn't realize I was off. But having these points of just slowing down and listening to the Lord, sometimes you can go. So after I spent some time in stillness, went back to my friend. I'm like, hey, I need to apologize. I didn't listen to your idea at all. When the Lord asked me, share your idea with me, I couldn't even list it. I don't even know what you said. So I'm like, can we have another day, like a redo, where you pitch the whole idea again and I'll just write it down and listen. And then once you say end, then I'll open my mouth. I'm learning. But sometimes there's those things that we go through our day, we realize we got to make some things right, where if I had missed that point to be still, I wouldn't have had that time to hear from the Lord and to be able to make things right with my sister. Another thing that God might whisper to us is of something of action. God wants us to do something, that there's a need to be met, a person to pray for, somebody to give away something to, care for, just like we're hearing the great examples by Karen and Renee, being generous with what we have in the day. The Lord might put on your heart, hey, this is what I want you to do this afternoon. Might be a little bit different than what we're playing. But really to pull away and be available to hear from God. So there's no like correct strategy or list of things you need to do, but there's a lot of freedom in that. For some, you might love music, and maybe just picking up a guitar, playing at a piano, or maybe just singing. For others, walking in nature is a huge, you just feel super close to God as you look at creation. It's God, the living God, who breathes out stars and planets. You can have a lot of fun. Make it creative. I want to look now at weekly rhythms. So we have daily rhythms, now weekly rhythms. So there's like the moment by moment. I'm suggesting maybe try to find three places. And don't be legalistic. If you miss one, I missed several this week. I just look for the next opportunity. Didn't get it there? Lord, my heart's for you. I want to hear from you later in the afternoon. Have fun with it. But let's look at weekly rhythms, and specifically the idea of Sabbath day keeping, which God shows us that example in Genesis 2. So in Genesis 2, in the creation of the world, verses 1 to 3, this is on the seventh day. So God spent 6 days creating the world. Now we're on the seventh day. It says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." I find it so interesting when I was reading this earlier this week, how just the details of God's creation and what he was making on the different days. But the God who's all powerful and can do everything and literally speaks out, like there's a little like throwaway phrase, like he made the stars. That's just like one of the sentences. He made all the stars. That's what he did at part of that day, right? How awesome is that? Who do you know? It's like, by the way, I made all the stars today. What did you do, right? Just wanted to say that. But to see how powerful God is, and he doesn't run out of energy or power. He's God. He's infinitely greater than we are. But then he models resting on the seventh day. God doesn't need to rest. He doesn't get weary. He doesn't get tired like you and me. He doesn't get worn down. But yet he modeled rest for us. And you see, when Jesus was walking the planet, there were some things in the Old Testament, the way of temple worship and going to a location and worshiping Jesus, like, hey, because of me and dying on the cross and I'm going to be sending the help of the Holy Spirit, you're not going to have to worship at a certain location. There are some things that were in the Old Testament that Jesus, like, that's no longer going to be a practice in the new. But when Jesus was pressed about the Sabbath, he actually didn't get rid of the Sabbath. He actually encouraged that it was actually a benefit for us and not the other way around. Jesus put it this way when some Pharisees, religious leaders, were talking to him. Mark 2:27-28, then he said to them, Jesus, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. In the Jewish culture, the Sabbath started on Friday sundown. It started actually in the evening. If you look at the creation order, each day is actually evening to morning, not morning to evening. So I just find that interesting, evening to morning. When Jesus rose from the grave on Sunday, the Christians moved their day of worship from Friday to Sunday. Our Lord and Savior has now been risen. That's the day we're going to celebrate. There's a lot of freedom, though, I believe, in this principle of Sabbath keeping. The idea of taking a 24-hour period, maybe that's an evening to morning, so maybe like 5 p.m. to 5 p.m. or something. You can have fun with it. Or maybe it's an actual day. The idea of pulling away to slow down, to just rest. Some of the things I notice about Sabbath keeping, and I'll be honest, it's really, really hard to do this. I don't want to make it sound like it's not, because in a culture where you either work 7 days a week or you work 5 and have 2 weeks off to do whatever, or if you're bivocational, trivocational, like things get really complex, it can be really hard to pull away 24 hours to slow down, decide, I'm not going to be paying all the bills on this day. I'm not going to be doing my yard. I'm not going to be doing all these things. I want to slow down and rest with God and do things that fill you. Maybe that's going for walks, reading. I know for some people, I was talking to someone recently, he likes doing projects, so actually building some things is filling, where building other things are not. But really just slowing down to honor God. It really shows, God, you're infinite, and I'm not. It also shows, Lord, I need to trust you that somehow, me not being ultra productive on this day, that you're still going to hold the universe together, right? Because, like, God, if I stop moving and stop being busy, how can I even do this? The daily rhythms can help you get to this weekly rhythm. Start small before going big. My wife, Crystal, and I were talking about this last night, and I don't come from a place where, like, I ace this. Like, I'm growing in this area, but and she said it was okay to share. But when we first got married for the first 2 years, I did things 7 days a week, just, like, always. Even my days off, I would find something to do, like ministry-related, whatever. My wife, Crystal, she was teaching at SUNY Canton nursing, and with all her study and prep and stuff, she was a bit of a perfectionist then, and she said I could share this, but she would be studying with her laptop in bed and prepping a PowerPoint till about 2 a.m., and then she would wake up at 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. pretty much every single day, so like 80 to 90 hours a week, and maybe some of you can relate to that. So we would go to bed, she'd be on the laptop, I'd fall asleep at 12, then I'd wake up at like 6 or 7, she would still be on the laptop. And that's the first 2 years. So I know what it's like to be in the crazy thing. And we, at that time, if you were to tell us to go this direction, try to find some time, I'd be like, you're crazy. There's no way. Like, we're maxed out. Like, if anything, you should be telling us how you're going to help us be able to get more things. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like you're in that craze. So if you're in that place, if you're stuck in a seven-day cycle, or you just don't know how to slow down, ask God for wisdom. And I have great sympathy and empathy. And just know God has much grace and mercy for you. But it is possible to try to move in this direction. The Sabbath is a wonderful time to reflect on the Lord. And I want to just give a couple practical things on this. Something that you can put on the Sabbath, or any day, but something that's kind of neat, is a spiritual discipline of fasting. Maybe try fasting once a week. In the Bible, you see fasting from food, but you could try fasting from technology or other things, just to be, God, I'm going to put some things away and intentionally here and to be with you. One thing I've noticed in my own life, it's just my own personal testimony, the biggest breakthroughs in my entire life as a person have always been linked to prayer and fasting. every single major breakthrough in my life, like huge, like I never thought I was ever going to break through in this area of my life, came from prayer and fasting. So for me, I'm like, I'm looking at making this like a regular part of like my week. Like, I'm just like, I want this every week. And maybe for some, it's like once a month, every 3 months. I don't know. Remember, grace, not legalism. If you're guilt-ridden, you can kind of think like, oh, man, I feel bad because I'm not doing these. These are supposed to be grace. They're supposed to be gifts. So don't get into guilt things. Jesus overcame temptation by the devil himself while fasting. Right? Remember that 40 days Jesus was fasting? He was tempted in three different big areas, and he overcame temptation by fasting. You might remember Jesus sent out his disciples, and they were supposed to be able to do some incredible stuff, and they were. But then they were supposed to cast out some demons out of some people, and it didn't happen. And Jesus was like, hey, you need a lot of prayer and fasting. There's something about fasting that you can have breakthrough in your own life and for those around you. So I encourage you, if you haven't tried that, or maybe it's been a while, practicing some of these spiritual disciplines, maybe on a weekly basis, maybe it's that Sabbath, maybe it's a different day, find a time. Also, it takes work and planning to not work on a 24-hour Sabbath day. And I learned a lot of this by studying a lot of other books. In order to not be mowing your yard, because now it's springtime and not snowing, I didn't know where I was going to be. I thought it was going to be snowing Sunday. So I'm really glad I have more like spring-like references now. Praise the Lord. You got to be creative. It's like, okay, I need to say, I don't know, say you took a Sunday to be your Sabbath, just kind of pause, slowing down, filling, refreshing. Then Saturday, you're really going to have to focus in on doing the yard, mowing, things like that. If you're paying bills at a certain time, you're really going to have to pay bills. For me, I'll sometimes stay up to like 10 o'clock working on different things the night before my Sabbath day, just so I can pull a day of rest. It actually takes a lot of work if you're just thinking about trying to squeeze it in. For those who are retired, maybe for some this might be easier, or maybe not, because there's a lot of, I know, retirees that volunteer in a lot of neat ways. But look to what fills you on a Sabbath day and resting in God's grace. You can incorporate stillness, scripture, prayer, the things I was talking about on a daily basis. I wanted to talk about a couple resources. On the back of your bulletin, I mentioned two books if you're interested in about studying some of these things more. That's Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. This has been a game changer in my life, still is, by Peter Scazzaro. Talks about grace, living, spiritual disciplines. Something that was really helpful, especially in the area of fasting, Sacred Rhythms by Ruth Barton. We actually have a copy of that in our church library. Check it out. I went through with a college student several years back. Some of you might remember Matt Booz. He got a copy. I used the library copy, and we literally just read a chapter every week because we both wanted to grow in spiritual disciplines. That was really fun. Also, if you're free or available or interested, I'll be teaching a course starting this Tuesday. It's a 4-week course called Power of a Whisper. It's from 6 p.m. to 7:15 right here at the church building. 4-week commitment, so very low commitment, only 4 weeks. But the whole idea of, Lord, I want to hear you. Maybe it's like, I want to have those kind of rhythms. I want to have those weekly rhythms, but I don't know what I'm going to do with those rhythms. Maybe you have a hard time listening to the voice of God. This is a great class. So whether it's the first time, you're like, I really want to just know Jesus, and maybe you're here and you want to start that relationship, great class for you. Also, if it's been a while and you're like, I just haven't been pausing to listen to the Lord, I want to encourage you, check out this class. Love to talk with you afterwards. But I want to just mention, if you're at all guilt-ridden, like you run off of guilt and not grace, know that these things are supposed to be blessings and not curses. So I know I'll talk to some people after the service, and sometimes they'll hear things from a sermon. They're like, I'm not doing that, and they feel more guilty because they're not doing all these neat things or possibilities. Just know, grace, grace, grace. God loves you. Maybe it's a two-day rhythm or a two-time rhythm. I don't know. Ask the Lord. But I hope these things would be gifts to you and not burdens. Now, I want to finish with one verse. I want to invite up the musicians as we're wrapping up. We talked about grace-filled rhythms, points daily and weekly. There's even some that are monthly and yearly and 70. There's a lot of fun things you can look at. It's great to have some goals. But I was thinking about grace and these rhythms. As I was studying this, I went to Ephesians 2. I was reminded of this scripture. It says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And if you're here this morning, maybe you've been coming for a couple of weeks, a couple of months, or maybe this is your first time with us, and you have yet to experience the grace, this gift of salvation, Jesus has come to die to give you new life, and it's literally a gift. We talked about grace definition. It's unmerited favor, means you cannot work for salvation. There's not enough right things you can do, but there's also not enough wrong things you can do to be too far away from God's grace. God's grace is that powerful and that strong, and it's that present. So if you're here and you have yet to know Jesus Christ, I would encourage you, I would love to talk to you after this service. I'll be up here with the prayer team after this song and benediction. Also, as we're singing this song about grace like rain, you can just open up your hearts. You can just talk to God. God, I want to know you. I want to have this new life in Jesus. God, would you allow me to be changed? It takes humility and surrender in order to receive. And to receive God's grace is literally the best gift you and I can ever have. So let's take a moment to pray. God, we just thank you for your love for us. God, thank you for your grace. God, thank you that life's a lot lighter and there's a lot more freedom than maybe some of us can realize. God, I pray for those who maybe are suffering with or dealing with the burden of guilt and legalism and ritual and religion and trying to move to this place of grace. God, I pray for freedom in Jesus' name. God, that you would unlock hearts and minds. God, if there's just patterns of maybe, I know for some parents have maybe said some things that get people locked in guilt kind of modes and you're hearing other voices. God, I pray that your voice would be the primary voice that would be heard. And that's one of love and care, just like a great parent just hugging a small child and caring for them. God, your grace is amazing, it's strong, it's powerful, but it's loving and it's caring, and God, it's close. And God, I pray for those this morning who have yet to experience your grace. They're hearing about grace, rhythms of grace. God, I pray for those whose hearts are in a place of wanting to know the grace of God for the first time, Lord. I just pray that they would see your goodness, that they could taste and see how wonderful you are, that your grace is available. God, I pray that we would be ambassadors of grace, Lord. Help us to receive, but also help us to share with others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.